Shalom Aleichem, everyone. As we prepare for Shabbos Nachamu, Shabbos Parshas Chanan, I have the tremendous chus, the chesed Hashem, to be speaking to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, the place to be on Shabbos Nachamu, the place to be at any given time. And Baruch Hashem, as I lay in the Parsha, the Moshe Rabbeinu begs HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everyone, let me go across the Yarday, the area, and let me see at the Arat HaTeva HaZayis. Baruch Hashem, Zeichet, to be here. It's something we have to appreciate every time. I'd like to share with you some thoughts on the parasha. Let me be magdim, the conversation I had less than an hour ago. Somebody told me, and this seems to be a populist sheet floating around with inspiring speakers saying it, and apparently some phone number you call to get chizuk in it, about betachin. We all definitely need chizuk and betachin. We have to work on it. But there seems to be a sheet of, if you have the betachin, it's a guarantee, an absolute guarantee you get what you want, whether you deserve it or not. It's a guarantee if you have betachin, it'll vaday happen. So I asked him the following question. I asked him, why Moshe Rabbeinu, in the beginning of Baruch Hanan, didn't just have betachin? Why the Chanan Hashem Ba'isai? Why did he have to talk to Derech Nevuah? He should have had betachin, a full betachin, that it's going to happen, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Yachol, and he's going to do it for sure. And maybe you'll tell me Moshe Rabbeinu is different. Moshe Rabbeinu knew the Nevuah. Then why is he dominating? Okay, but maybe Moshe is different. So I asked Rabbi Saul Salanta. Rabbi Saul Salanta was Nifter in Paris. All alone with one person in the room. Why was he nifter? He was sane. He was aware. He was talking to the person he was with. Why didn't he just have full betachin that he's going to recover? Hashem is kol yachol. Rabbi Saul Salanta should have had the full betachin, the full emunah. Now, if you're going to tell me not everyone could do that, well, if Salanta can do it, then I don't think any of us can do it. So what's the purpose in this entire exercise? The MS is that there are shittas about betachin, but we're not guaranteed anything will happen unless a Navi tells us it's going to happen. There's no such thing. There's no guarantee. And if it's the right thing for a person, his days are up, and it's the best thing for him to leave this world, why in the world would he have betachin then anything would be different? Why? So this shita seems to be a faulty shita. And more frach mitzad asfar and ikamet zedadim. But anyway, let me get to this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, we have, of course, the parasha of Kriyat Shema. I'd like to share with you a very important letter in the Michtam Eliyahu, Chelek Dalet, page 338 to 339. There are mechtovim there. There are letters. They're extraordinary letters. And there, in Michtav Chav Gimel, it's a Michtav to Talmidim. You could see, he writes in the introduction, this was during the years of the Holocaust, when Rav Dessler was stuck in England, his Talmidim were here in Eretz Yisrael. He writes them a letter after a long time of not communicating with them. Apparently, what he's going to write is of major significance, and it is. Rav Dessler writes, regarding a Rashi in this week's parasha. Right in the beginning of Shema, it says, Rashi says, Hayayim, that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us we should look at not as something old, not as an old letter from the king, but as a new letter from the king. When the king sends a new proclamation, everyone wants to see it. When it's the old proclamation, nobody wants to see it. So, Hadvar Me'ela, Shanechim Savacha Hayoim, should be Hayoim, a person should look at it as Chodesh, as something new. Is it Hispimus for something new? As you know, Hergel, when you get used to something, it becomes not inspiring. It becomes something that, oh, we know already. He brings the example of the Ramban, that a Nes, a miracle, is inspiring. Everyone runs to see it. But a miracle that repeats itself, that becomes teva, that becomes nature. So if you put a seed in the ground and food comes out of the ground, that's a miracle. But since it happens every time, it's Hergel. Nobody goes to see such a thing. So that's the downside of Hergel, getting used to something. The upside is you get used to good things, so you do it all the time. But the downside is the lack of espilus, the lack of feeling, the lack of hergish that comes from it. So he asks, he gives an example. He says, when we say al-chait, we're very moved. Misayirim u'baychim, or misayir and we weep. And yeah, when we say ashamnu, we don't have the same feelings, the same exact thing. Just al-chait is something new for Yom Kippurim. And ashamnu we're used to. The same thing, we say Hashem o'alekim, Hashem o'alekim, well, once a year at Mitzvah Yom Kippur, and we call it out in a loud voice. Shema Yisrael, Hashem o'alekim, Hashem echad is the same message. And we got used to it, we say it twice a day. So it there's a hergel to it, it's not ideal. How comes the Rashi in this week's parasha, the Kavanah of the Chumash and the Torah? Hayoim to have a hischachus. Zot Rabbi Yisrael Salanta had a hischachus. He writes an incredible line. He says, "Lavar b'machshavosteinu shetzarach liyos chadash who pushes shezel loyel klal." The way to feel hischachus, to think I have to have hischachus, is not going to help. He says, "Lo yoyo klal, not help at all." I don't know if it's not going to help at all, but that's what he says. "Lo yoyo klal," it doesn't really help. He says, "What's the eitzah?" This is the point that I want to bring out to you. Before I tell you what his eitzah is, let me share with you. Many years ago, many, many times over the years, I've shared with people the gross pshat in the first bracha of Shmini Esrei. It's a hezber in Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibar, Bahanayra. I must have said it once in all these years on the Thursday Shiurim. I don't remember when, but it's a pshat, it's an understanding, it's a havana in the depths of each word. And I say it so that people should use it to have kavanah in the first bracha of Shemayin Asher. So somebody came to me, he said something to me very movingly. He said, "I appreciate it. What you're doing is you're learning the first bracha of Shemayin Asher. You're not davening it, you're learning it. Is that what it's supposed to be?" Fast forward to Tashin Peihei, and the letter of the Mr. Milio, that's what he says. He says, "Ha'ion v'ha'hispainanus heima ashe yivatlu es pu'ulas ha'hergol heim b'tfila heim b'kriyash." He says, the way to have kavan in Shemayin Esrei is to have an ion and hispainus, to be ma'ayin in the meaning of it, to learn it. This week's Pasha Shema, take out a Chumash. Learn some new Hezbah, some new Pshat in the first Parsha. And when you say it, have that in mind as well. Always remember the Aruch HaShulchan by Kavan and Shema Yisrael. He writes, there's so many Kavanis in the exact meaning. He says, Rashi is Pshat, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, who is Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, someday the whole world will recognize the oneness of Hashem. That's what he says. Now, the idea of the Mr. Malio is talking to have some depth, some Havana in the understanding. And with that depth and Havana understanding, it'll wake you up to be able to do it. I'll give you an example from my own life. I once was discussing with Rebelsky, Olav Shalom, at a wedding, the idea of the pronunciation of an ayin. We pronounce an ayin the same as an aleph. We don't really have much of a difference. And there are some words where it really changes the meaning. So, in Laman Yibu Yemechem, Yimev Nechem Al-Hadam, or Asher Nishba. Now, Nishba with hey means to be captured. Nishba means to be shavui. Nishba with an ayin is swore. So, at the time, Rebelsky said to me, even if you're not able to pronounce the ayin with the correct pronunciation, you're not used to it, that doesn't come out right. But even if you could do it just by nishba, instead of saying nishba, say nishba, and say it that way, it's kedai to say it just on some of the words where it changes the meaning. That's Rebelsky taught. Now, the point I'm making has nothing to do with the pronunciation. It has to do with kavana. Since that time, over 10 years ago, when I say l'man yirbu, I try to say asher nishba, I try to say it correctly. Now, there are other words that I should correct as well, but right now, that's what we were discussing. besides the pronunciation. It's mamish like the mitzvah. The hiskatshus is there. The hisbainanus is there. Once I say it, I may think about what it means. A nekuda in halacha, a nekuda in ion, a nekuda in havana helps a person have kavan. Similarly, when you finish Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad at the end of Maariv, at the end of Berachos Kriyas Shema Maariv, there's a maila, it's a hiddur. Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad, according to the Mechaber Shita, you're supposed to say amen to your own bracha. Ramah says the meaning of Ashkenazim is that we don't say amen to our own bracha. That's what it says at the end of Siman Reish Lamed Vav in Arachai. Back in Siman Nun Hei, Mishnah Berurah of Cotton Gimel, he discussed this. He mentions that if you finish the bracha along with the chazan, those who say Shemar Amay Yisrael Lo'ad along with the chazan, so Lekuli Amay, you can answer amen. You can answer amen for sure, because you're saying amen to the chazan's bracha, and you have the hiddur of saying amen to your own bracha. So it's an haga, which I try to have. I try to say it together with the chazan, Shemar Amay Yisrael Lo'ad amen. My point is not the hiddur and the amen. My point is, if you do that, then you'll have kavanah, those amazing, amazing brachas, Shemar Amay Yisrael Lo'ad. In our generation, all the dangers to call Yisrael, this is what we want. To praise HaKadosh Baruch for and ask for more. Hashem should be Shemer Amay Yisrael Lahad. So my point here is illustrations of the Nitzimul Yehoz Eitza. If Eitza is with Chidushim and his Bainanus, then a person is able to have Kavan in the things he does. He says, Hen B'Kriyashma, Hen B'Tzilla. Then he says, Hen B'Chol Dvar Mitzvah. Any mitzvah that you set out to do, a mitzvah you do often, if you have some Eschachos in it, then it'll help you. And of course, he says, Hem b'divrei Torah, b'talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is certainly that way. Limud HaTorah, he says, Chidushei Torah is not only for the substance of the Chidushei Torah, but it's for the schachos of the person who's learning the Chidushei Torah. It's the schachos within the Talmud Torah. Kadosh Baruch Chadi, the Pilpula Deraisa. Hashem is happy with the Pilpula Deraisa. Of course, it's for the Pilpula Deraisa, but also for the schachos the person has in Pilpula Deraisa. So this is a message, and it has to do with this week's parasha, because you learn the first parasha of Kriyashma. Learn the Mefarshim on it, look what it says on it, and you'll have a better Havan on it. Take out a Teretz Mima, just learn the list of Gemaras that are connected to the first parasha of Kriyashma. And it'll hopefully help us have Kavana, the forever battle of having Kavana, proper Kavana, in Kriyashma, as well as in Tefillah. Let me share with you one last thought. V'yohavtoas Hashem Elokecha. You should have love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Yoma Peivav says, V'yohavtoas, that means that you should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, the Gemara Dashi Shei Divrei Torah Mis'ahiv Al Yodecha, that people who see Ben Torah or from a Yid behaving properly causes Divrei Torah Mis'ahiv Al Yodecha. People love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they love Torah when they see a Ben Torah behaving in the proper way. How does that fit into the words, you should love Hashem? What does that have to do with other people loving Hashem? And the answer is the following. If you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much, you want others to love Him. Let's say somebody's a member of a Hasidus. He's a member of whichever Hasidus. Yeah, he's a member of Babel, or he's a member of Satmar, or he's a member of Lubavitch, whatever Hasidus he's in. So he loves the Hasidus. He's a Hasid. He wants others to love it as well. He wants that it should be misahid, that people should love it. Someone goes to a mice and he's in the yeshiva. Once upon a time when people went to one yeshiva and didn't switch every year, but somebody was connected to yeshiva. So he wants the yeshiva should be misahid. What does that come from? The ahavta, you love. If you love so much, you want it to be misahid onto through others. So the Ahavta as Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, a job to have Avas Hashem is such an Avas Hashem that we want it to be misahiv, that others should love it as well. And so that's a kavana in the Ahavta as Hashem Elokecha, to have such love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to keep the Mechzav Eliyahu. It's a thought on a word in Kriyat Shema. which hopefully is a chiddush, and I'll give a sense of his chashus with that. I want to wish everybody an absolutely wonderful Shabbos Nachamu, and I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be standing here, Yerushalayim, Yer HaKadosh, in the city of Yerushalayim, in the center, really the center of the universe, where the world was created. Bezus Hashem, we should all be Zaycha, that Yerushalayim should see a spread of Kedusha to all of Achedu B'nai Yisrael, and Yerushalayim should be all B'nai Yisrael here, Bezus Hashem, in a closeness to the Bible, I love in the Yeshua to Am Yisrael. A good Shabbos to one and all.